Good morning, church. It's wonderful to come into the house of the Lord, amen? Man, I was sorrowful that I missed last Sunday. I missed all you guys. I missed worshiping with you guys, but I was really looking forward to this Sunday to be amongst the church body and to worship together once again and see all your smiling faces. God is good. Good to hear. Thank you, Tim. You know, I must be getting old. I double booked Jim and Tim to lead this service this morning. I asked Jim probably a few weeks ago already, and I completely forgot about that, and then asked Tim this week, so yeah, Jim and Tim, so, but Tim will be leading next weekend, so that's awesome. Yeah, it is old age, yeah. I mean, what's that? That's right. Yeah. Well, I did just turn 42, so the age is getting up there too, so. Not really. Thank you, Hank. You're so kind. Today's Palm Sunday, and we're kicking off Holy Week or Passion Week. And it's just a wonderful reminder to celebrate Jesus Christ, to celebrate our King. Man, I love celebrating my King. Do you? He's so good. He's so awesome. I have a video here to start off before we really get into God's Word here. Have a look.
Let me tell you about Rachel. She's 21, just graduated college, summa cum laude. She's funny, a bit too studious, according to her boyfriend. And she tells everyone she knows that they need to be trained in CPR. Oh, and she'll take a trip to France one day, and she'll tell stories about it for the rest of her life. This party, it's meant to celebrate her first real job.
It's a entry-level position, but it does provide a steady income.
It also provides a retirement plan and even comes with dental. Seems that she's well on her way.
What nobody here today could possibly know is that she will become department manager in just 6 months. She'll start running marathons. She will get married and become a mom. She'll walk her friend Teresa through a chronic illness. And after all that, become CEO of the company.
You see, her family and friends are celebrating what is with no idea of what is to come.
It's very similar for Israel on that first Palm Sunday. You see, they all line the streets, crowds fighting for the best view of the King, who would be even greater than King David himself.
They'd prayed so long.
For generations they prayed. And here he was. And so, that's why they grabbed their palm branches, right? And they celebrated him because in their minds, he was going to free them from Rome.
And so they all shouted the same thing, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You see, they celebrated what they knew about Jesus, that he was a good teacher, that he was a miracle healer, that he was a divine prophet. What they couldn't begin to imagine. As he rode into town that day, he would be the fulfillment of prophecy, would bring healing for sin. He would show the world what love truly is. They had no idea that the one riding through town was the King of Kings all over the world. The past kings, the present kings, the kings to come, King of all kings. Paul said it so well. In Ephesians 3, verses 20 and 21, when he said, to him who is able to do more than we could ever hope for or imagine, to him be the glory through all generations, forever and ever. And so, just like them, we cannot imagine what is to come. But as we join in the chorus of their voices, celebrating what Jesus has done, may we also celebrate the God, the Savior, the King of all kings, who can do more than we could ever imagine.
We all love to celebrate the people in our lives, especially parents. We love to celebrate our children when they hit milestones in their lives, when their future is unfolding, and we're so proud of them. We love to celebrate events and things that have happened or things that are happening. But have you ever thought about how we celebrate what has happened or even what is happening without any idea of what is going to happen? Just like in the video, it points out those people who line the streets on Palm Sunday as Jesus was coming into Jerusalem, they didn't understand what was truly going on. They thought they were welcoming in a Jesus, a king who would overturn the current political leaders and set them free from Roman rule. They had no idea what was actually about to take place. The Bible even points that out in John chapter 12. If you have your Bibles, you can open up to John chapter 12. We'll read verses 12 to 16. And I have it up on the screen there for those who would like to read that way. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. Did you catch that? At first, his disciples did not understand all this. You may be thinking, why would they line the streets then and wave branches in the air and celebrate and lay down their coats on the streets? Well, that's what they would do when a hero would come to town. If a leader had a great victory, they would celebrate, throw a palm branch parade. If there was a new king, palm branch parade. If Jerusalem beat Jericho in a soccer match, parade. Okay, I made that last one up. What they said that day, though, wasn't just something the crowd spontaneously whipped up. This was different. They are quoting Psalm 118. And notice how it mirrors what is said in John chapter 12. Let's read Psalm 18, 25, 26. "Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you." You see, here's the thing. These words were written a long time before Jesus was born in a manger, hundreds of years before. In fact, everything that they did that day was appropriate. The crowd just didn't understand what was about to happen was much bigger than they could ever imagine and hope for. And let's look at these things they were celebrating and see how even though they missed the total point of Jesus riding in Jerusalem as the new king, they still nailed it on the head, so to say. But they were celebrating what they did not know or understand. So first, they were celebrating salvation. We use the word Hosanna from time to time in church, right? Especially it's found in worship songs. Do you know what Hosanna means? Save us. Lord, save us. It's from a biblical Hebrew phrase. The crowd celebrated salvation on this day, on Palm Sunday, and they shouted, Hosanna, Lord, save us. However, they were not celebrating salvation the way we understand it and know it today. Instead, they may have been thinking about prophecies like the one found in Isaiah chapter 9. Verses 6 to 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. You see, the crowd that day was celebrating what they thought was salvation and freedom from the Roman oppression. They thought a political leader was coming into town. They thought Jesus would be a war hero, bringing them salvation from the oppressive government. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 to 9 says, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. You see, Jesus was coming to town to bring salvation. There's no question about that. However, his battle was much greater than any political victory or winning a battle over an oppressive government. Jesus would provide a way for us to find freedom from the oppression of sin and from the wages of sin, which is death. There is no greater victory in life than that. He would bring a freedom that one day, that no one could imagine on that day. And he would also do it in a way that no one would expect this victory to happen. But that's the story for this coming weekend. The point is, there is this excitement of being saved in salvation. Yes, there's excitement from being saved from physical oppression or from another country. But there is even greater excitement of a salvation of our soul that is eternal from spiritual oppression. Second, they were celebrating the coming Savior. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. On that first Palm Sunday, the crowd celebrated the coming salvation and welcomed the Savior who would bring it, Jesus. The phrase, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, is actually a way of welcoming someone very important. Another way it could be said is, welcome in the name of the Lord. And they were seeking to welcome the one mentioned in Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 5 to 6. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteous Savior. This crowd welcomed Jesus possibly for two reasons. First, it was a week of Passover. The city was packed with those planning to celebrate the time God set their people free from slavery in Egypt. However, they also welcomed Jesus in this city that was a seat of power during those days. And in their mind, he wasn't just coming to celebrate, he was coming to take control and take power. And although Jesus would celebrate the Passover while he was in Jerusalem, he had no intentions of sitting on a throne in Jerusalem. However, this is a beautiful picture of something similar that God has planned for us in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 to 19. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That's so good. Let's read that again. That's so good. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. In your inner being. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Do you desire to be filled with the measure of all the fullness of God? Do you desire to have the God of Spirit in you, changing you from the deepest core of who you are? To understand how deep, how wide, how high his love is? That is all through possible through Jesus Christ and the victory that he has done over sin through the work of the cross. You see, Jesus would take the Passover meal and help us see that he would be the final sacrificial lamb, the final atoning sacrifice for our sins. And while he did not seek for a throne in Jerusalem, he does seek for a throne in your heart. Does Jesus sit on the throne of your heart today? Is he your king? When this happens, we begin to grasp how wide and long and high and deep God's love for us truly is. And it transforms us. A desire to be obedient to him, to follow him. A Savior came to Jerusalem that day, and his purpose was to pay the price so that we could invite him to sit on the throne of our hearts today. Thirdly, they were celebrating the king. Blessed is the king of Israel. The idea of a Savior coming to town insinuates that a future king is coming. That is why the crowd that day shouted, "Blessed is the king of Israel." They were giving him the title before he had taken the throne. As they saw Jesus riding in on a donkey, maybe they remembered the words of the prophet Zechariah, chapter 9, verse 9. "Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." What a king Jesus would have been for them on that day to sit upon the throne of Jerusalem. They had seen how he treated people differently, with love, with compassion, how he had met their needs and bringing healing and making a real change in people's lives. Unlike any political leader, we actually see happening the work that they're doing. If this great Jesus was anything, he was humble, speaking the truth in love like none before him. But that week would come and go, and Jesus would not sit in the throne room of Jerusalem leading the people of Israel. In fact, come Friday night, his body would be laid in a borrowed tomb. How confused and disappointed the crowd must have been. But we know the truth of the story. We have the advantage of hindsight, of reading God's word, of what happened. And we know Jesus used a borrowed tomb because he planned to return it on Sunday morning. And return it he did. But that's for next Sunday. So while Jesus may not have sat on a throne in Jerusalem, the book of Revelation shows us precisely what kind of King Jesus is. Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 to 12, and then verse 16. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and wages war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. On his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus is a faithful king. Jesus is the true king. A mighty king. King of what? King of Kings. It's not simply a title. It is the truth of who Jesus Christ is. King of Kings, Lord of Lords. There is none like him. And he wants to sit on the throne of our hearts. Do you celebrate that? Do you celebrate that truth every day, that the King of Kings rules in your heart, that he rules over your life, that he gives you life, provides you life and salvation? Do you celebrate that, not just on Sundays, but on Mondays, on Tuesdays, on Wednesdays, on Thursdays, on Fridays, on Saturdays? Sadly, I don't think we do that enough. But this is Passion Week coming up. This is Holy Week leading to Easter. Let's do that every single day this week and let it continue on from there. He is worthy to be praised and lifted up. Psalm 118, 27 and 29. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine on us. With boughs in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. I wanted to preach in the beginning of this service because we have a time of worship and music, and we have an opportunity to really worship our Lord and Savior, to celebrate him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and give thanks to him, for he is good and his love endures forever. You know, our society wants to suppress our emotions. And even in church, you kind of hear that, man, we shouldn't get too emotional. But you know what? when the Spirit of God is there, when he falls on this place, when he's in you, you get emotional. You're filled with joy. You're filled with love. Maybe even fear. You get emotional. And you worship. You celebrate him. And God delights in that. Church, our King wants to see us worshiping him with our whole being, and that means our emotions. They're God-given. So let's do that. Let's worship. Let's celebrate our King of Kings. Worship team, come on up here. Let's sing a song of worship, and let's worship. Let's get emotional. Let's open our hearts to God. He sits on our throne in our hearts, and he is worthy to be praised. Let's stand up. Let's worship.